Peterson ready to go to work against him. First pitch, swinging a liner toward short. Picked by Lindor on one hop, runs to second, one throws to first. Out at first, out at first. Put it in the box. The Mets are out at the mound, pouncing on each other. The Brewers may want to have a look at this just to be sure, but if this holds, this party is headed to Philadelphia. The New York Mets have won this wild card series.
It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
One of those nights. What a week to be a fan of the New York Mets. They make it happen again. They never say die. They have nine lives. The miracle Mets are a thing. Do you believe in miracles? I mean, Monday, how they fought to get into the dance. Then they brought that energy to win the first game of the series. They stubbed their toe last night, and I tried to tell some of you guys, wait, let's not kill the manager. Let's not kill the team. They're not eliminated. And with their backs against the wall, down 2-0, with everyone ready to say, LOL Mets, they're dead, they said, think again. The Make It Happen Mets survive in advance. 888-808-1019. If you're into baseball, if you're into sports, if you're into movies and theater, and you watch that game, you can't tell me that wasn't incredible. Give credit where credit is due. To see a team absolutely fight like this time and time again, what else do you need to see? There really aren't even words for it. Some ridiculous things happened. I dubbed them the Make It Happen Mets because they impose their will. They fight. They're not done. 27 outs. They scratch, they claw, they find a way. And when we started watching that game, I'm putting my notes together and I'm like, they got to beat the Milwaukee Brewers, the fans, and the home plate ump. 888-808-1019. Nobody's thinking about that home plate ump and his strike zone and some of those cheap calls and borderline calls. Nobody's thinking about that. I mean, this game was kind of weak in the beginning. It was just a lot of ground outs, no extra base hits. And I mean, Francisco Lindor obviously came to play in a elimination game. He wasn't trying to go home. Should be MVP, the eventual runner-up MVP, putting the team on his bad back. But yeah, early in this game, I'm like, this is whack. I'm about to watch Thursday Night Football. Nothing is going. Jake Bowers, former Yankee, comes through and breaks the game open against Jose Buto. So we start to think, oh, well, it's not going their way because Jose Buto has been a lock. He's been solid. He's been a weapon. He hasn't given up anything all year. Even in the broadcast, I think they said something like he doesn't give up many hits or he keeps the ball in the ballpark. Whoop! Announcer's jinx. And if you're online, everybody's thinking, oh, well, that's it for the Mets. Here come the Brewers. Back to back and a belly to belly. Sal Frelick, I saw someone said Sal Frelick had not hit a homer since May 15th. He hit that one a mile. And just when you start to count these guys out, just when you look at the momentum swing, which that's all postseason baseball is, right? If you can't hit Nick Mears, okay. Jose Buto comes in, we're going to hit Jose Buto, but there's no clock in baseball. And the Mets knew they had plenty of time. I listened to Brandon Nimmo say, we just kept shooting our shot. Rest in peace to Brandon Nimmo's grandmother. He didn't tell the team that he lost his grandmother prior to the game. And she must have been looking over them. If you believe in God and the baseball gods, and I don't know, if you prayed to Grimace or the Rally Pimp or Glizzy Izzy or Seymour Wiener or, oh my God, whatever you believe in, something happened. For a guy that nobody believed in, this guy's name has been dragged. This guy has been absolutely disrespected on this radio station online for days. Rightfully so, but at the same time, you got to know a guy that they call the polar bear at any moment could have ice in his veins. I saw it coming. Devin Williams comes into the game, and I've seen Devin Williams pitch, and I'm like, he doesn't have it. And when you get runners at the corners like that, and he's got to throw it in the zone like that, the guy that put the team on his back was not Lindor in that moment. It was Pete Alonso. And then you see Mets fans go crazy with the Citi Field watch party. It's a movie. It's theater. Something happened to Pete Alonso. When he dropped that pop-up against the netting in foul territory and those Brewers fans were right up against him, laughing at him, I think he knew. Redemption. I've got an opportunity for redemption. Jose Iglesias said that he told him in the eighth inning, yo, stay focused. You're going to hit a home run. You're going to hit a home run. And man, after Lindor walked and Nimmo singled, two guys who are big money guys already, Francisco Lindor, who got paid, Nimmo, who got paid earlier in this season, you heard about those two guys leading the way, not just in the team meeting, but them buying dinners for the team. It's a special night. They get on, and Pete Alonso does the job. That call that you just heard from Howie Rose, that's an all-timer. It's epic. Whether you're a Mets fan or not, whether you're a baseball fan or not, you're a sports fan or not, in this city right now, they've got the city on lock. They've got everybody paying attention in the entire sports world. Happy tears from Mets fans on Monday and Thursday. 5,000-plus people watching the Rico Bronya tonight. And a full rack of calls on WFAN. So I'm no fool. I know what to do. I'm going to get to you. 888-808-1019. That was an incredible game. I give credit where credit is due. I called this team the Make It Happen Mets in 2022. That's when I started calling them that. Because there were so many times in that season where I saw them come back, impose their will, never say die, and have TWTW, the will to win. But this is something else. Last year, I said, losers, let it happen. Winners, make it happen. And they had to shed that loser mentality, that LOL Mets mentality. These guys are the anti-Mets. These guys are the Mets that you dreamed of. Watching these games, you have to watch the game till the end. And if you're a smart Mets fan, you're betting on the Mets to come back. And they're cashing your bets. 888-808-1019. It's October. Tis the postseason. It's the most wonderful time. Congrats to the Mets and the Mets fans. Steve Cohen told you he thought that this was a postseason team. David Stearns, you a genius. The Mets are advancing to the NLDS that you could drive to, like you might have taken a ride down the turnpike to see the Sixers take on the Knicks. Here we are again, New York versus Philly. Keith McPherson on the Fan. It's the most wonderful time. Andrew's in Manhattan. Andrew, you got it. You're first.
Keith, today redemption is spelled P-E-T-E. That's how it's spelled. Let's go. Always the bridesmaids, never the bride. We've been for years on the West Coast losing games in the wee hours of the morning. Keith, not tonight. It's our night. It's our night. We got Philadelphia on Saturday. What do you think about this?
I think they're shook. I think the Philadelphia Phillies are saying, well, we'd rather have seen Sal Frelick and we'd rather have seen young Jackson Churio. And like they got to be a little shook because they're sitting there cold for a week. And here come the hottest team in baseball with this aura around them that they can overcome any deficit, that they're never out of any game.
Can I say something? I was down. Back-to-back home runs, solo home runs. I was down. I was upset. I was fragile. But you got to stay positive, Keith. You can't look at the glass half empty. You got to stay glass half full. And you know what? We waited. We pitched. Edwin Diaz got a little wobbly there when he was in relief. I mean, we stretched him more than we normally ever stretch him. But you got to stay positive. Top nine, Pete comes up, and he does what he does. Finally, he was sleepy for the last couple of weeks. He woke up. The polar bear is up. He's back, baby. I'm feeling good for once. I'm going to be 40 next year, Keith. I've been watching this team blow leads to the Braves, to the Phillies, to everybody. Maybe it's our time.
Thanks for the call, Andrew. Maybe it is. It's the most wonderful time. It's October. It's the postseason. Believe. You got to believe. The Miracle Mets, the Make It Happen Mets, they're giving you every reason to believe. And I know it's hard because you've had all of these other seasons, all of these other Mets teams that have let you down if you're 40, if you're 30, if you're 20 years old. But that's got nothing to do with this group led by Carlos Mendoza. It's got nothing to do with this group led by Francisco Lindor. Man, Edwin Diaz goes out there and you're wondering who's going to close the game. I know Severino was up. Honestly, ESPN, they suck. Like, their baseball coverage is not there. You could just tell that, like, they don't care about baseball enough to really actually cover the game. But David Peterson is available. Unsung hero. We can't even call him an unsung hero anymore because we've sung his praises. He's just a little bit underrated. He's a little under the radar as far as his importance to this Mets team. But he gets his first career save. Francisco Lindor with the unassisted double play, like, hey, watch out, I got this, young man. Step on the base, throw it to Pete. That's a forever moment. That's a forever game. What a week for the Mets fans. 888-808-1019. Connor's in Red Bank next up on the Fan.
Keith, how you doing tonight?
Good, man. I mean, the positivity, right? I'm positive Keithy filling in for positive Tommy. I know it's hard for Mets fans to be positive, but you got to bang the drum of positivity because you're moving on.
Bro, I am so excited. Man, and I just want to say, Keith, as much as I love to hate on you, I also do love you. You're a Monmouth County legend. So just want to say that. With that being said, too, I'm just curious if this – I might sound a little delusional, but I think this Mets team is special. I think the Yankees have a great way to get to the World Series. I just want to know, what do you think the scenes would be like if we could get a Subway World Series?
Thanks for the compliment, Connor. Shout out to Red Bank, Monmouth County, New Jersey. It's not about the Yankees tonight. The Yankees are still waiting. It's not about the Subway Series tonight. It's not about me tonight. But being from Monmouth County, something I said online, Monmouth County is like the Mason-Dixon line. The next county south of Monmouth County in the Jersey Shore, Ocean County, that's where it starts to turn into Philadelphia Phillies, Eagles, Sixers, Flyers territory. And yeah, even though I'm a Yankee fan and I'll never actually root for the Mets actively, I'll damn sure never root for the Philadelphia Phillies. Never that. Not one Philly team. So go New York, go New York, go again. As I was here every night through that Sixers series, rooting for Brunson, Hart, DiVincenzo, the Villanova Knicks to go get it done. Why can't these Mets get it done? You know they can. They just saw these guys. You've seen the Phillies choke. You've seen these Mets hit their pitching. It's going to be a great series. I'm so thankful for it. I just understand how there are fans in Jersey that can hear me. Some of them skew Philly. Our former program director here, Spike Eskin, is a Philly guy, left to go back there. We do a lot of crossover. I've been on WIP a bunch of times. WFAN will be lit this week because we have the NLDS and NALCS. We have two teams that are separated by a 90-minute drive in the Mets and the Phillies. Let's handle business first with that, right? I know everybody wants to talk Subway Series. What are the chances? What will it be like? I mean, the Yankees got to get through Bobby Witt Jr. and the Kansas City Royals. And not for nothing, I was talking to Connor Green before. I'm like, everyone's talking about the pressure on the Yankees. There's no added pressure. There's layers of pressure. There's different lanes of pressure. The Mets being in the division series, if the Yankees don't make it out of the division series and the Mets do, I'll stop right there. Michael is in West Hempstead. Michael, you're on the Fan.
Oh, my. Wow, what a night. I am so happy for them. I'm so happy for Pete. I mean, the haters today were in full volume. I mean, I couldn't listen to the radio today because every time I just put it on for a second, the vitriol, the anger, the hatred was so pouring out. They must be wondering, what just happened? Who am I going to hate next? And you realize, that he was Pete was interfered with on that pop-up, if you look back on it, the Brewer fan came about a foot or two to push the net out toward him.
Yeah.
I watched it over again. It
his
was
face.
Way fan interference.
The guy had his face on the net. That's what I said. Something happened there with Pete.
And his arm.
He
his
got,
arm.
Like,
he
touched by the fan
net.
and he paid them back. He had those Brewers fans literally crying. People just stunned, stuck in their seats.
That was the karma play right there, man. That fan pushed that net with his hand way out. I didn't notice it the first time, and I played it back later after the whole celebration. And I'm like, there's what karma just caught up with him. It pushed so hard against this guy, and now he's standing there missing a pop-up. Like, oh, what a pathetic, horrible man.
Yeah, it looked like he was going out sad. It looked like he's like, come on, Pete. You trip over the bat. You can't make the last out right there.
God, you're horrible. You're one of the best home run hitters. You worked all this, and I'm sitting in my basement calling today and saying, what a piece of this and that he is. Whoa, horrible man. And the announcers, too, some of the guys, some of the on-air talent, quote-unquote, were burying him, man. Oh, boy, what are they going to say tomorrow?
Michael, what if now the polar bear, what if they woke up the sleeping polar bear? What if this guy gets hot now? What if this guy goes on a tear in the next series? And, like, that can happen.
He is wide awake. And this is absolutely his legend is in stone right now. You can't touch his legend. You can't give him any more guff, any more hate. You got to go hate somebody else. Go hate the cat. Go hate something else, dude, because polar bear is off your list.
Thanks for the call, Michael. 888-808-1019. It's one of those nights. It's one of those nights where you're not going to be able to sleep. It's one of those nights where you're going to call the fan, you're going to listen to the fan until you fall asleep because you have to live in it. This is what they play for as I'm watching Jose Iglesias kiss Francisco Lindor. Like, who would have even thought that these two would be on the same team together and this would even be a thing? This guy's got a hit single coming out. Well, a remix to his hit single coming out. I go to check the calendar in a week from today. And people are saying, oh, what if they're not playing in that song? Hey, well, they're going to be playing. 888-808-1019. There's so many stories and themes around the Mets, even the biggest Mets hater. And I know a lot of them because as my phone was lighting up when the Mets go down 2-0, I'm kind of just telling, hey, chill. You know why? Because I've watched this team all year and I'm like, you know, this is kind of what they do. They're like a boxer against the ropes where you're thinking he's about to be cooked and somehow he rallies and hits the rope-a-dope and next thing you know, he's knocking the guy out, standing victorious. Tim is in Floral Park. Tim, you're on the fan.
What's up, Keith? How are you doing, bro?
Good, man. I've been waiting. We had a Falcons game, Falcons game winner in overtime. That game took a while, but I'm like, yo, this is one of those nights again. Even Monday when it took a while for me to get on until 12:30, I'm like, people got to call a fan, got to talk. People got to live in this.
All right. So if you can give me a minute, I'm going to explain to you how nuts my night was. So I have an 11-month-old daughter, and she was having trouble sleeping tonight. And I'm watching the game with my wife tonight, the Met game, big Met fan. And it gets to the top of the ninth inning, and my daughter decides to wake up. She's teething pretty bad. So I go up, I rock her back to sleep. But we're basically watching pitch by pitch. My daughter was having trouble going back to sleep, so I come back down, put on a pitch, run back upstairs, rock her back to sleep, put on a pitch. Finally, we get to the Alonzo home run, and I'm looking at my wife, and I'm like, there's no way this just happened right now. And I'm like, you know, I'm glad my daughter finally fell back asleep, but I just, you know, the way the game played out tonight, you know, the most resilient team in baseball as of right now. And I'm so proud of these guys, and I cannot wait to take on Philly this weekend. And I just want to hear what you got to have to say.
That's great. You'll remember that forever. Your daughter won't remember it, but I keep talking about these kids. Imagine a kid Monday who watches that Mets game, and now he's locked in to this series. And a kid that just saw that tonight, they're Mets fans forever. The Yankees better show up. The Yankees better show up because these kids are picking up that royal blue hat with the orange interlocking NY. Steve Cohen's got all the money in the world. They've got the smartest guy running operation. They've got a hell of a manager. I fear that they keep this going, more and more kids are going to be Mets fans. And, like, I'm telling you, special games like we saw Monday, like we saw Tuesday, and like we saw Thursday, those are the games that make these 8, 9, 10-year-old kids diehard fans. There was a time that you watched the Mets as a kid that made you a diehard fan. I know a lot of you were born into it, but, like, how great is it to watch the game with your dad, with your grandfather, with your mom, with your grandmother, and have that joy together? I wish we had the live stream going today. We didn't have a live stream like we had Monday, but this type of stuff's got to be documented, caught on camera. I keep saying the Yankees got to get to a World Series because everyone's going to have these moments on their phone. Like, I saw Sal Acata's video after Pete hit the home run. I'm like, that's going to live forever. Even Positive Tommy, who today, literally, when Evan threw to him, asked him, you know, let's hear what Positive Tommy's going to say. He called it. Positive Tommy said Pete Alonso was going to hit a 3-run homer. He also said that he'd go 3-for-4, but whatever. You know, that's extra power of positivity. This run that Tommy Lugauer's on, amazing. It coincides with this team and the belief in the team. This is why you wear their jerseys. This is why you go to the ballpark. This is why you watch every single game. You listen to the fan. You listen to podcasts. And you just hope that when you get to October, they give you moments like this, and they are. Peter is in Poughkeepsie next up on the Fan. Go for it, Peter.
Keith, how we doing today? Listen, before I start, man, about the Mets, I just want to say you are awesome. You got a bright future ahead. I already know you know that. But keep doing what you're doing, man. I really enjoy calling. I love joy listening to you on the Fan.
No problem. Listen, thank you.
Tonight, man, what a night for the Mets, man. What a night for New York in general. A beautiful moment by Pete. Really showed up after this tough, tough season he's had out of all the seasons with the Mets. Really showed that why he deserves to make the money. And I will say, too, the craziest story, too, out of all this, I went on a date today. Wasn't expecting the Mets to even play this week. And I look and see how we beat Atlanta. And I'm looking at the schedule. Wow, I made a date. Hopefully we don't get to game three. Somehow we get to game three. This girl lives at Astoria. Took her out to Astoria Park. Took a walk. She offered to go watch a game at the bar down the road from her house. And I am so upset in the eighth inning that we gave up two home runs. Or sorry, the seventh, they were giving up two back-to-back home runs. My head's down. She looks at me and goes, you just got to believe. Just believe. She doesn't watch baseball. And she said, you got to believe.
Wow.
And I just had that feeling that it was coming. It was coming. Once we get runners on the corners, wow, what a moment. What a moment for all of us here in New York.
It's funny. Tommy says, don't make vacation plans. Don't make any date plans either. Thanks for the call, Pete. 888-808-1019. You'll remember exactly where you were Monday. You'll remember exactly where you were tonight. You hope that this continues. The story's continued. And I'm, you know, I've had a lot of takes. I've had a lot of things that I've said. And I know I won't get credit for it. But, you know, I got some flack for saying that this was a special season for the Mets. And I just didn't think that they were going to miss the postseason. Instead, I get, you know, a freezing cold take from a caller mentioning in, you know, mid-May, hey, they should blow the team up. And I say, ah, might as well if Steve Cohen is online talking to fans about the trade deadline in mid-May. But, man, you tip your cap to Steve Cohen. He also said that he expected to make the postseason. Fleeks, if you have that in the cut somewhere, the audio of Steve Cohen back in May talking about this, I mean, this guy said right now, he's like, I don't know how this is happening. Oh, yeah, that works too, the London series where he followed up with it. It's like, you know, these guys weren't just blowing smoke up here. Like, this is business. Like, this is the team that he owns. He hired David Stearns to make moves. And I remember during the season, I'm like, this is different, right? The Mets are not just bystanders. They're not just passively watching the team crash and burn. Every time something goes on, they're making little moves here. They're making little changes here, little tweaks here. They're calling a guy up. They're DFAing a guy. They're signing a guy. They're changing the lineup. They're making trades. Like, they're actively trying to compete. And I think when you do that, it keeps the fans locked in. It obviously kept this team locked in. And now everybody's locked in. Bandwagon fans, Fairweather fans, Mets fans that absolutely didn't believe in the team, hated the team. They're watching these games now. Let's go back to the London series when the Mets faced the Philadelphia Phillies, who they'll face in this upcoming NLDS, and hear what the owner had to say.
Well, I say it again. A lot of games left. And I actually think the team's starting to show signs. And so hopefully, you know, we'll continue to, you know, improve and start winning some ball games. It's just a question of, you know, getting a little confidence, getting on a run. And I think that's possible. And so it's, you know, how many games are left in the season? 100? It's a lot. Okay, so, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, we'll see what, you know, it looks like 4 to 6 weeks from now. Listen, I know everybody's focused on the trade deadline, right? That's all anybody wants to talk about. We got a lot of games to play. And so, you know, let's not get focused so far out. Let's get focused on what's happening now. We got to win a game. We got to chip away. We're down, you know, obviously 9 games and to get to 500, but maybe, I don't know, what are we, 4 games out of the wild card, which is, I mean, we shouldn't be proud of that, right? We're still 9 games under. But, you know, it gives you the opportunity to you know, make the season a success. And so, you know, that's the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah, so going back to mid-May with the article that came out about my freezing cold take where I said might as well blow it up, it was in line with what Steve Cohen put on Twitter. Remember when the tweet that went out, people on Twitter were talking about, oh, he said he meant to DM. The tweet was, he said something like, all in the future, not much we can do until the trade deadline. But then he went on to talk to SNY, and this is the article from the Post where he says, I believe in this team. I believe in the back of the baseball card. It's way too early to speculate on anything. It's May 16th. I expect to make the playoffs. I know the fan base is frustrated, but it's still early. We're still very capable of making the playoffs. I fully expect to make the playoffs. Playoffs, 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 postseason, October baseball. Here we are. The Mets are in the division series. Out in Princeton, Brandon, you're on the Fan. What you got?
I mean, I just got to say, what a game tonight. I've been listening to you for night after night, talking about the analytics of this game, but this really came down to just a true baseball game. And
heart.
I am so happy for Pete Alonso.
Yeah. Like,
finally to come through. I mean, it was just hard to watch from us last month and then, you know, going through this contract negotiation and whatnot. But, so Pete, let's go Mets.
Thanks for the call, Brandon. 888-808-1019. I'm watching SNY and they're showing the scenes from the City Field watch party. Without a game three, you don't get that scene. You don't get a watch party in City Field with that big-ass screen. We'll talk to some people that went there. If you went there and saw that and were in that environment, call up, because I'm sure it was a roller coaster. Like, the Mets have taken their fans on a hell of a roller coaster ride this entire season, but definitely this week. I've got another 90 minutes. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. The Mets have won to advance to face the Philadelphia Phillies in the 2024 NLDS. What a time to be alive. Tis the postseason. It's the most wonderful time. I'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Right back at it on the Fan in New York. The party continues. Wasn't much of a party for the first couple hours, though. The game was stagnant. It was quiet. It was stale. It wasn't going good. It was uncomfortable. Wasted at bats. Dealing with the umpire. Grounding out. Not really being able to get anything going. And like I said, the momentum in the game, right? Once you get to the bullpen, once they go to, you know, they take Tobias Myers out. They go to Trevor McGill, Tyler McGill's brother, and Nick Mears, and, you know, they're at home. They're feeling it. They're feeling like, this is it. We've got the momentum, you know. I mean, these Mets, I just can't say enough about them. And the storyline, like, that was a movie. Jesse Winker. Jesse Winker not being in the lineup game two and then being back in the lineup. And then them booing him every time he comes up. And then when he scores to add on that insurance run and he stands over the plate and spikes his helmet and the helmet breaks, I'm like, this is ridiculous. like this is theater. If you like baseball and you know the characters that are in the movie playing out in front of you, it's riveting. Whether you're a fan of the team or not, whether you're rooting for the Brewers or the Mets or not, you don't have a dog in the fight. I'd have a dog in the fight. I was definitely laughing and ready to troll at early points when former Yankee Rake Bowers comes through and Sal Frelick right after, but nah, there was something just telling me like, wait. This is what these guys do. They're going to come through. Jose Buto, cheeks. But he's not. Usually, it was weird, man. Jose Quintana, I haven't mentioned his name yet. He was fired up, and he should have been. Talk about a guy that was just not going well at all for a while and then flipped the switch when the team absolutely needed him. A veteran that just, I don't know, turned back the clock or something. Lights out. And you go to Diaz so early, and Diaz walks the first batter, and I don't know, it's just a wild ride. It's a wild ride. I could only imagine what it was like for the fans that went to Queens, went to the ballpark to watch it together. And I've told you in these last couple days, right, since you know I chose to come here Monday and watch Evan watch the game with Lugie and all of our sales team and the Mets fans and Paul Rosenberg and you know, some of the other people at WFAN, you should watch the games with people if you can. You should watch the games with friends, family, fellow fans. And my guy Jake Brown went to the game, or he went to the ballpark to watch the game. I want to hear from him about what the atmosphere was like at the watch party in Citi Field, because I knew, like we've seen, like we saw the Tigers, right? The Tigers are in Houston, and during that game, they cut to Detroit, and the people are celebrating. Not like they were in Flushing. Let's go to Jake right now on the Fan. What's up, Jake? Tell us about it.
Keith, thanks for having me. It was cinema. It was magical. Like you said, watching alone. I've moved out of New York for now. I'm in the Cherry Hill area. And I couldn't fathom watching that ending alone and not being at the ballpark. I hooked so many strangers. I ran down the aisles. My jaw hurts. My throat hurts. I might have to go on the injured list as a fan from the amount of euphoria in that moment. Like Pete Alonso, remember, he drops a pop-up. Everyone, if you were in that ballpark, everyone was yelling curses, names at him, good riddance. We won't sign you even for, you know, to get the draft pick compensation. Like we all wanted Pete Alonso's head. He's been the worst hitter on the team for the last month. And for him to come up in that moment, we're all thinking double play, game over, season over, Pete Alonso ends it, or OMG Mets three-run homer. I like the latter a lot better. And, yeah, it was quiet when the two back-to-back homers, the place was silent. You could hear a pin drop and then transition to the home run and then the Mets finishing it out. It was absolutely electric in the ballpark.
Certainly worth the train ride and the yelling and screaming and the emotions, and you know, that's why I say baseball is the best sport, because I feel like really only baseball can make you feel like that. Like football is great. I love the game of football, but it's just different with all the penalties and the timeouts and the breaks in it. And you know, baseball is just like, it's such an emotional roller coaster where, like you said, everybody could be saying all the worst things about Pete. And I know some people have apologized and still owe him an apology. But then he can go from being the most hated to the most celebrated, be the absolute hero. You feel good about that. You feel good about a guy like that. What do you expect to see out of him in this next series?
I hope he wakes up from that. Listen, his recent stretch, his last homer came off Roger Clemens' son, who is not a pitcher. His last homer was against a position player. So if there was ever a guy who was more due, it was Pete Alonso. And, you know, I don't think he's coming back to the Mets, to be honest, no matter what happens this month. I don't think they bring him back. But what teams that will go after him will see is these final moments, these clutch moments. And that is a clutch cojones moment from Pete Alonso and the biggest of his career. We haven't seen that from him. He's only been in the playoffs one time. It was a three-game series, wild card, same thing. And, you know, the Mets really never had a shot because their starting pitching stunk. Starting pitching was great today. You know, Buto had his moment, but Pete Alonso has got to be the guy. Lindor's done so much, and he can't overlook Lindor's walk. That was an incredible at-bat to get on base and start the ninth inning. And you just felt, I think that's when the building kind of woke up, was like, wait a second, we ain't done yet. You know, the Brewers on the heels. Brewers are notoriously a terrible playoff team. They've been choking. They've been overmatched. Putting Peralta, I thought, was an overmatch. And I know it's the final game, potentially, but there was a lot of, you know, red flags coming from the Brewers. And once Lindor got on base, then they got the base hit. You're like, wait a second.
this OMG season is not done yet. And Evan made a good point, I thought, the other night. He said, or the other day when he was on, he said, this team's either going to get swept or they're going to go to the World Series. And, like, I hate to, like, be crazy and say they're going to the World Series, but it has that aura, it has that feel that this team could do something. And Pete's got to be that ninth inning Pete if the Mets want a chance to go deeper. And I think it's huge tomorrow to get a reset. And you mentioned roller coaster. We all know the season's been a roller coaster, but think about this week. Yeah. I mean, the Hurricane, the loss, two losses to Milwaukee, a win Sunday.
Yeah, the travel.
Monday's insanity going back to Atlanta the first game. And then Tuesday win, Wednesday loss, and then tonight, you know, on your heels, and they come back and win. This week alone has been, you know, a Mets ultimate classic on a rain delay on SMY in 2028. So I hope we get more of those, because this team has all the makings of something special. And listen, I'd love to face you guys. I'd love another Subway Series, World Series. And I'll say this, it's been emotional for me, you know, moving and being laid off
one,
the same week, leaving
one game
New York.
At a time, bro. And you know what? Everything happens for a reason. As you're on the train back to Cherry Hill, now you live closer to Citizens Bank Park.
And bro, it's the first time the Mets play the Phillies in the playoffs ever. And I've been a Philly like two times in my life before I lived here. And now I'm here. Like, it's almost like a sign from the heavens above. Like, happy Jewish New Year. Like, it's just, it's bizarre that it's turning out this way. Cut the challah bread and, you know, drink the manischewitz. And I think a lot of Jewish Mets fans are sipping on manischewitz tonight.
Jake, you're the man. Thanks for the call, bro. I'll let you get back to Cherry Hill, South Jersey, not too far from Philly, where he took a train from today to get to Citi Field. He also brought up a good point about Cody Clemens, who plays for the Philadelphia Phillies, and the last homer that Pete Alonso hit being off him. Now Pete Alonso goes into this NLDS against the Phillies. There's just too many cosmic things. Universe never unconnects, written in the stars. Like, it just, it's destiny, man. And if you believe in that type of stuff, keep watching the story. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Colin in Hawthorne, New Jersey on the Fan. What's up, Colin?
Hey, Keith. How you doing? You know, yesterday when the Mets lost, you know, there was a lot of Mets fans on social media saying how they should move down Pete Alonso to the sixth or seventh spot, you know, because he's like a production, you know. And on Monday, he batted in the fifth spot. On Tuesday, he batted in the fifth spot. On Wednesday, he batted in the fifth spot. And today, Carlos Mendoza, potentially his last day as a New York Met, he moved them up to the fourth spot, and he came through for them. So Carlos Mendoza is still doing the right thing.
Did you hear what he said? Did you hear what he said after the game last night, that he's one swing away? He had belief.
Yeah, he had belief.
Just like he
the right buttons.
I can't say enough about Mendy. Steady Mendy. He's just unfazed. Like, this guy just has the right temperature, mentality, personality to be a manager. He's going to be the Mets manager for a long time. I almost can't believe he was sitting in the Bronx. Well, it's not about the Yankees. But, like, man, he did the same thing with Edwin Diaz. Edwin Diaz blows that opportunity to win the game in Arizona, and he says, I expect him to get the next three outs or the last three outs tomorrow, comes out and does it. And, yes, when the lineup came out today, I actually responded to the Mets tweet, let's go Pete, because everyone was saying, drop him the seventh in the lineup. We can't have this guy killing us in the lineup. I'm like, no, they gave him a vote of confidence and said, yo, we need you. We trust you. You got to come through for us, and he did.
Yeah, man. You know, I'm very happy for Pete Alonso. I'm happy for the Mets fan, you know. But, you know, I'm a Yankee fan, and this puts a lot more pressure on the Yankees now with the Mets running doing so well and this magic carpet ride, especially having Carlos Mendoza. You know, so yeah. Boone has a lot of pressure on him in this playoff.
Thanks for the call, Colin. I'll say this for the Yankee fans listening. The Yankees always have pressure. That's why I keep hearing, oh, it's added pressure now that the path to the World Series is so clear. There's always pressure. Yankee fans expect the Yankees to win the World Series every year, go to the World Series. It's a decade and a half drought. But I do think there's different layers and lanes of pressure where if they fold, there's just so many narratives. They'll open Pandora's box. I already said one. Now, look, the Mets are in the division series. If they advance and the Yankees don't, Womp. There's one. Carlos Mendoza is the manager of the Mets, a rookie manager. If he manages the Mets to the championship series or the World Series in his first year, and Aaron Boone can't get this team with Judge and Soto and Cole through the American League Central to the... I don't know, man. We are, if you're a baseball fan and you're a fan in New York and you listen to the Fan in New York, we are blessed with just riveting storylines and themes and things that you got to watch and play out. And I mean, now here you go. The Mets get a couple days to rest. You would have liked to see them win the series in 2 days, but either way, they get Thursday or they get Friday off, and then they'll play Saturday. They get another champagne shower, right? Pete Alonso said he wanted to party with the boys. He gets to do that. They get a day to, you know, travel and decompress here. And here we go. Saturday, we've got the NLDS in Philadelphia, Mets versus Phillies, and then the Yankees will host the Royals. And like I said before, my WFAN is going to be so lit. Like, it's so much better to have winning and positive energy and teams that we're proud of and being excited to turn on the radio and being excited to host a radio show and not killing the manager and not killing the players and saying, this guy sucks, this and that. Even last night when I was on, I was trying to stop y'all from tearing down Mendy. I'm like, he doesn't deserve all the calls. He blew this game up. I'm like, listen, he's doing what they planned on doing. Even with Pete, I'm like, I'm just not going to kill this guy yet because he's got other opportunities. He hasn't been good. He's the hero now. 888-808-1019. Limo driver Ed, back on the Fan. How you feeling, man?
Hey, listen. Miracle Mets. I keep saying it.
That was a miracle. Freddie Peralta's in that game, and I'm like, oh, they're not playing around. Then Devin Williams. Nope. Devin Williams is a dog. He's got this airbender pitch. Let me look at my note. I'm like, yo, when he didn't have it, I tweeted it out. I'm like, three-run bomb incoming. Because he's going to have to throw it in the zone, and Pete Alonso's going to put a swing on it. Line drive, out of here.
Listen, they had Pete out the door. They had Pete tripping over the bat. They had him when he misleaded with the pop-up.
Yep.
Listen, I'm at Newark Airport waiting on a passenger to come out for international. I'm sitting there. All of a sudden, the coach on Milwaukee, he brought the other guy up. Other guy gets up, takes the other guy out, gets up, hits that first home run. I'm looking. Here comes the second one. Boom. I told my pastor after they got there, I said, Ed, you don't look that happy. I said, oh, my God. I said, just don't know. But I couldn't listen to it in the car. So then I'm coming back, dropping off the car and everything, and I'm saying, is that Pete talking? I thought it was, they was, because you can hear all the fans in the background. I thought Milwaukee done won the game. And then when I hear they said, Pete talking, I said, don't you tell me they won this game.
You checked out and came back and... That was a miracle.
And I said, no way, brother. And then I'm trying to get to you, and they got the football game on. And I said, get them out of here. I don't want to hear.
Westwood One's coverage of Thursday Night Football in the way of New York Mets fans getting to talk about their team.
Yeah, brother, but I'm very happy for them. You know what? Listen, being out here in PA, the Phillies are definitely scared of the Mets. They didn't want to see the Mets.
That's what I'm saying.
Mets done played them hard the whole year, brother. You know?
It's going to be a good series.
Listen, if you keep Harper down, because he's dangerous, you keep him down, you got the rest of that team. You're good to go. But you can't let Harper get up there with bases loaded, because, man, he will launch.
I love the dynamic. Thank you for the call. Limo driver Ed is back and forth from up here and Philly. He's called about Saquon and the Eagles. I just love the dynamic with the Giants-Eagles rivalry, with the Knicks and the Sixers that we just had in the playoffs, and now we get this again. If you're a Mets fan, how are you not planning on getting in the car and driving down there? How are you not checking right now those ticket prices? How are you not checking the prices for the train and hotels? You have to go there and show out. Last year, I felt like Major League Baseball missed New York. They missed the scene of Citi Field. They missed the scene of Yankee Stadium. And the closest thing that I pointed to as that environment, or, you know, closest thing to like a home field crazy atmosphere, is down in Philly, Citizens Bank Park. And they got silenced by the Diamondbacks. Mets fans can go in there and take over that building, and you have a team that can shut them up as well. 888-808-1019. I just went back to my notes. So that airbender pitch that I'm talking about, Devin Williams is dirty. Didn't Devin Williams win Rookie of the Year? Is he like Devin Williams? I don't know. He's one of the best young pitchers, black players in the game. Devin Williams, when he came in the game, I'm like, mama, there goes that man. But as I'm watching him pitch, I'm like, oh, he doesn't have it. And if he doesn't have it, that opens the door. Obviously, the walk. And yeah, he's a two-time All-Star. He was NL Rookie of the Year in 2020. Either way, he has the airbender pitch. That was the first home run all season on his airbender pitch. And Pete Alonso hit it. Like, if you want to talk about just, like, crazy things, just ridiculous things that don't make sense, like, Sarah Langs put out a tweet. She said, Pete Alonso with the 10th go-ahead home run in the ninth or later in a winner-take-all game in postseason history. That's the first of those with the team trailing. That has never happened. Pete Alonso with the 10th go-ahead homer in the ninth or later in a winner-take-all game 7 or game 5, game 3 here. The first of those with the team like, Pete Alonso must have had some type of cosmic. Like I said, it was that play. It was that fan, the interference, the net, having those Brewers fans that smell like IPAs and cheese curds. Ha, 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 loser, you suck, all over him. He internalized that, and he had one shot, one opportunity to seize everything he ever wanted, and he got it done. I don't care who you are. If you watch sports, if you watch baseball, and you watch that happen, that's crazy. Mets fans, go crazy. Keith McPherson on the Fan, 888-808-1019. I've got 1 hour left. I'm going to fly through these calls. Call me up. We'll be right back.